Welcome to Songs of Praise from 3ABN Australia Radio.
Let me be the wind that drives. you've taken the wheel. My hands are free to help others in need, saving those souls who are drowning in sin and pulling them in. So wherever you take this ship that's now yours, I know.
The sweeter he grows.
This is Songs of Praise, brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio.
that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, oh, how it sends out a light that I might see.
My life. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Thank you.
listening to Songs of Praise.
You are worth
sins forget. So remind me, remind me, dear Lord.
Wonder. try to measure God's love by things they own, like clothes, cars, and money, the size of their home. But if all that I had was taken away, would that mean He loves me less than yesterday? And what about the millions with nowhere to sleep? Precious little children, less fortunate than me. Well, I know that Jesus loves them the same as He loves me. For He proved His love for everyone when He died on Calvary. God said, I love you. Each time the hammer fell on three rusty nails, He said, I love you. I can hear Him as He was crucified, as He bowed His head and died for a world that was lost. God said, I love you with an old rugged cross. I'm glad the Bible teaches, for God so loved the world, that means every man and woman, every boy and girl. Jesus said, no, I won't lose them, I will pay the cost. So if you want to view God's love for you, look at the cross. God said, I love you. Each time the hammer fell nails, He said, I love you. I can hear Him as He was crucified, as He bowed His head and died for a world that was lost. God said, I love you with an old rugged cross. So loved the world that He gave His only Son. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God said, I love you. Each time the hammer fell on three rusty nails, He said, I love you. As He bowed His head and died for a world that was lost, God said, I love you with an old rugged cross. God said, I love you.
You're listening to 3ABN Australia Radio's Songs of Praise.
Not contain him. Death has lost.
to every nation, make the message known. Sin has been defeated, for Christ rolled back the stone. Taking darkness captive, he crushed the powers of hell. Our strong and mighty Savior is still God, alive and well. Jesus lives, Jesus reigns.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened me, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me.
You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. When I am down,
stand as children of the promise. We will fear mountains shall be moved, and the power of the gospel shall prevail. For we know in Christ all things are possible for those who call upon his name. We will stand as children. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. We'll walk by faith and not by sight.
You've been listening to Songs of Praise, a production of 3ABN Australia Radio.
Welcome to the book reading program of 3ABN Australia Radio. Does your faith need a boost? Do you think that miracles only happened in Bible times? Think again. Compiled by Remnant Publications, the book Get Ready for a Miracle recounts true stories that prove that when we step out in faith, God displays his power in undeniable ways. Here is our reader, Sandra Ashton.
This story is entitled Dawn of a New Day. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 7 to 8 says, "The Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.'" Listen, be faithful in the face of hardship and discouragement, and God will grant a most wonderful experience. Difficulties will arise that will try your faith and patience. Face them bravely. Look on the bright side. If the work is hindered, be sure that it is not your fault, and then go forward, rejoicing in the Lord. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 7, page 244. Those who work for God will meet with discouragement, but the promise is always theirs. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. God will give a most wonderful experience to those who will say, "I believe thy promise. I will not fail nor become discouraged." Testimonies for the Church, Volume 6, page 335. It was a cold, rainy day, and the wind was not helping. As the time drew nearer for the van to pick me up from canvassing, I began having a debate in my mind. Should I call it a day? Should I just walk a little slower and get picked up faster so I can warm up inside the van? It wouldn't be too bad, I reasoned in my mind. After all, my pants and socks were soaked from the first part of the day. The fact that I was freezing made every part of my emotions pull towards getting inside the van and calling it quits. Nevertheless, I prayed and decided to go all the way. There was not much time left on the clock anyway. Let me be faithful to the end, for indeed the Lord has promised to be with me. Praying in my heart for a divine appointment, I pushed forward. I rang the doorbell of what I perceived would be my last home. No one came at first, but finally, a young woman cracked the door and asked, "Can I help you?" I proceeded with my canvas, but she was not interested. At this point, I glanced at her ear and noticed she didn't have earrings on, and for some reason, I thought it was an opportunity to ask if she was a Christian. Sure enough, she was Pentecostal, and because of my question, it gave more time for me at the door. Finally, she said, "Can I at least offer you something to drink?" With this, she invited me in. Continuing my conversation on her being a Christian, out of nowhere, she begins to tell me about a problem that has been perplexing her. She told me her sister went to an Adventist university and had been learning so much. She then grabbed her Bible, opened it, and pulled out a small tract. The subject read, "Sabbath or Sunday?" She continued by saying that her mother-in-law is a current Adventist and was the one who gave her the tract. At that point, she had no idea that an Adventist literature evangelist was in her home. The topic had not even come up. She continued telling me how she continually saw Sabbath in the Bible and not Sunday, and was very confused. I then looked up at her and said, "I am a Seventh-day Adventist." She was dumbfounded. She just could not believe it. I then took the Great Controversy, placed it in her hands, and told her it would clear up all the confusion. She grabbed my hand, looked me in the eye, and said, "You are the answer to my prayer." 4 days ago, December 26, 2013, I knelt down at my bed in desperation and asked God to send me someone or a sign to explain this issue and what I was supposed to do. "Then you showed up," she said. At this point, I was praising God because I realized what was taking place. I quickly glanced across the room and saw a big family Bible, the kind that the big bookers sell. I had mega books, but was very familiar with the big books. I had stored that into my memory for a later time. I took her information down and we exchanged contacts. I texted her the next day and told her to look in the back of that big family Bible for the question and answer section. Of course, I knew there was a section on the Sabbath back there, and by the grace of God, she and her family came to church the next Sabbath. What was so thrilling for me was hearing her testimony from her point of view as she shared it with the church members. She said that she had watched the Bible series on the History Channel and her favourite was the story of Lot in Sodom. What was funny is that she said she invited me in because I looked like the angel that came to Lot in the movie. Here I saw a spiritual lesson, because just as Lot showed hospitality to the angels and received the warning, this woman, by her hospitality, received the warning about the deception of Sunday and answers to her questions. She said, had I not pointed out the questions and answers in the back of her Bible, she would have never dreamed of looking there. Her doubts had been silenced and her questions had been answered about the Sabbath. She also expressed that the night I was there, she stayed awake until 3 a.m. reading the Great Controversy and how the change of the Sabbath to Sunday took place in history. She is currently taking Bible studies and by the grace of God will soon be baptized. This was the dawn of a new day for this family. Not only them, but also the night of cold and dampness turned into a new day filled with joy and rejoicing for me as one more family was brought to the Lord. A reflection associated with this story comes from Christ's Object Lessons, page 237. We are living in a time when the last message of mercy, the last invitation, is sounding to the children of men. The command, "Go out into the highways and hedges," is reaching its final fulfillment. To every soul, Christ's invitation will be given. The messengers are saying, come, for all things are now ready. Heavenly angels are still working in cooperation with human agencies. The Holy Spirit is presenting every inducement to constrain you to come. Christ is watching for some sign that will betoken the removing of the bolts and the opening of the door of your heart for his entrance. Angels are waiting to bear the tidings to heaven that another lost sinner has been found. The hosts of heaven are waiting, ready to strike their harps and to sing a song of rejoicing that another soul has accepted the invitation to the gospel feast. Dawn of a New Day was written by Ramon Gibbs, a Washita Hills College student.
You've been listening to the book reading program by 3ABN Australia Radio, featuring Get Ready for a Miracle. For more information about this book, visit remnantpublications.com.
We hope you enjoy the short presentation of how God led his people after the Reformation from lineagejourney.com.
There is one book that almost cost Ellen White her life, and that book today is entitled The Great Controversy. The origins of this book come to this rural area here, just outside the town of Bowling Green in the state of Ohio. Ellen and James White have been traveling across the state visiting various families, and they were in this area for the funeral of a young child. The funeral took place on March the 14th, 1858, in the Lovett's Grove Schoolhouse, which would have been located just across the road from here. During the funeral sermon, Ellen White received a vision that lasted 2 hours. Receiving a vision during the funeral of a grieving young family is not the ideal timing, but the truth that this vision would share would be vitally important to us today. The following day, James and Ellen were traveling home by train, and she relayed to him what she had seen, and they discussed plans for writing out the vision. It was decided that when they reached home, this would be her first work. Yet on that train, there was what one author has described as an unseen, unpaying passenger who was determined that the world should never know the truth about himself, that it should not get published and see the light of day. Arriving in Jackson, Michigan, they went to the home of Dan Palmer, and as Ellen White was conversing with Sister Palmer, she suffered a cold, strange sensation pass over her right side and heart.
Those present earnestly prayed for her, and with a partially restored strength, she was able to continue her journey here to Battle Creek. Arriving back here in this house, she began to write, but it wasn't easy. Initially, she only had enough strength to write barely one page, and then she had to rest for 3 days afterwards. But as she continued to write and her strength increased, she was able to progress and finish the book. In June of that year, she received some light as to what happened in Dan Palmer's home, and she wrote, "I was shown in vision that in the attack at Jackson, Satan had intended to take my life in order to hinder the work that I was about to write, but angels of God were sent to my rescue." The unseen, unpaying passenger on that train did not want the world to know that he had been an angel in heaven, that he had fallen into sin, and that he was the cause of the misery in this world. The first published account of this vision would be this book right here, the 1858 edition of Spiritual Gifts, Volume 1. This would later be enlarged into The Spirit of Prophecy, Volumes 1 to 4, and then eventually to what we have today, a 5-part series entitled The Conflict of the Ages, of which the book Great Controversy is the last in the series. The great controversy between Christ and Satan would be a major theme in the writings of Ellen White, and also the motif by which Seventh-day Adventists would understand as key to unlocking Scripture. This book, the one that almost cost Ellen White her life, has changed lives all around the world and is the one that we should seek to share as much as possible. Ellen White herself said, "The Great Controversy should be very widely circulated. It contains the story of the past, the present, and the future. In its outline of the closing scenes of this Earth's history, it bears a powerful testimony in behalf of the truth. I am more anxious to see a wide circulation for this book than for any others that I have written. For in The Great Controversy, the closing scenes of this world's history are given more distinctly than in any of my other books." If you have never read the book, The Great Controversy, then I would invite you to do so. And if you have, then pray and ask God for wisdom on who to share a copy with.
To view more episodes in this series, visit lineagejourney.com.
I'm looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13.
Let's look closely at a scripture that combines one of the strongest expressions of longing for Christ's coming with one of the richest statements about who Christ is. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body, Philippians 3:20 and 21. How is our yearning for Christ's coming described? We eagerly wait. How is Christ introduced to us here? First, he is the Lord. Then he is Jesus, our Savior. Finally, he is the Christ, the mighty Hebrew Messiah. It is he who is coming again.
You've been listening to a production of 3ABN Australia Radio.